See what the Bible has to say about the subject. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at a couple verses and explore this concept or this thought of Paul's thorn. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now here Paul the apostle is sharing about his ministry and the challenges that he faced. He received an abundance of revelation about Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. This revelation is what he shared in all of his epistles or letters to the churches. Now, the Pauline revelation, as it is called, is found in the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and the book of Philemon. I also believe that Paul authored the book of Hebrews. We can certainly see that he was quite a prolific writer, and his understanding of Christ and his redemption was just amazing. Paul also had a powerful ministry of healing the sick. Now let's look at Acts chapter 19 and explore this for a little bit. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, says this, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now Paul, here in Ephesus, had what the Bible calls special miracles wrought by his hands. Handkerchiefs or aprons were touched by Paul, and then taken to those who were sick or who were oppressed with evil spirits. When the cloths were placed on the sick or oppressed, the sick were healed, and the evil spirits who tormented these people left them. The word for miracles in this passage is the Greek word dunamis, which means might, ability, or miracle-working power. Notice that verse 11 says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." Just as Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit in power in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we see Paul anointed by the same Holy Spirit to lay his hands on cloths and aprons and send them to the sick and infirmed. The end result was healing for the sick and deliverance to those who were bound by evil spirits. Here's a little sideline. I'm sure Paul didn't charge people for these cloths. Here's another look at Paul and his ministry to the sick in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verses 7 through 9. Notice what it says. "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed." Now Paul ministered to the sick by laying on of hands. He knew that that same healing power, or dunamis, that brought healing and deliverance to the sick in Ephesus would bring healing to the father of Publius. Remember, the basis for healing is the redemptive work of Christ. On the cross, Jesus bore our sickness and carried our pains. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and Matthew 8, 17. Paul knew that healing was and is an integral part of the redemption of Christ. Now here's another look at the ministry of Paul in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we'll begin with verse 6. Now, it says, "They were aware of it," or aware of it, "and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet," and he leaped and walked. Now, this is a passage that we studied in detail in one of our previous lessons. As we said earlier, Paul did three things. He preached the gospel, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed, and he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." The man did three things. He heard Paul speak. He had faith to be healed, and he leaped and walked. Now you might ask, where did this guy get faith for healing? From hearing Paul the Apostle preach the gospel. The gospel, or good news concerning Jesus and his redemptive work, is that he was made sin with our sin and sick with our sicknesses. We can all access the benefits of his redemptive work by our faith. Now we can see that Paul, when he wrote this in one of his epistles, we can get a little better understanding of what he was talking about. Now, notice what he wrote to the believers at Corinth concerning his first ministry to them. Now, you'll find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you can't keep up with me as we go through these scriptures, just write these down and go back and study them at your leisure. It'll really open your eyes to some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Notice what it says. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Notice that Paul, in his first ministry to the church at Corinth, did not attempt to impress them with some great theological oratory. He didn't attempt to wow them, so to speak, with his astute mental acuity or his advanced degrees. Now, we know that Paul was a very educated man, but yet his message was very simple: Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul made the Jesus he preached alive in their midst by the demonstration. Now, the Greek word here is apodixis, or you could pronounce it apodixis, of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word apodixis literally means manifestation. So his message was simple: Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it was accompanied by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and power. The Greek word dunamis is the same word found in Acts 19, which literally means miracle working power. Now, understanding this background of Paul and his ministry, let's go back and look at Paul's thorn. Now I think we have a better understanding of Paul and his ministry. This guy had an amazing revelation of Jesus and his redemptive work and what it means to us. He had miracles wrought by his hands and ministered healing to the sick. Paul himself preached the gospel that includes both forgiveness of sin and healing for the physical body. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's look at Paul's thorn. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll pick up with verse 7. Notice what he said: "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, notice what Paul says: "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, here in this passage, verse 7, Paul tells us exactly what this thorn was and exactly where it came from. Now, the word thorn here is the Greek word skolpos, and it means to be a point or a prick, and it literally refers to an annoyance of sorts. We find similar phrases in the Old Testament. Here's one, for example, in Numbers chapter 33. Numbers 33:55. This is what it says. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. The inhabitants of the land were not literal pricks in the eyes and thorns in the side, nor did they make the children of Israel sick. But rather, they were such a problem and an irritant to the children of Israel that it was a constant source of vexation and trouble. Now, here's another example of this phrase or expression used in the Old Testament. We find it in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23, verse 13. Notice what it says. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Again, a warning to Israel from Joshua, as he is now an old man, that if Israel goes back and clings to these nations and their abominable customs, that they will have problems. It will be a very constant source of trouble and irritation for them until they perish. Now, Paul says that there was given him a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn? Paul tells us exactly what it was. The messenger of Satan. The word messenger is the Greek word angelos. This word is found 188 times in the New Testament and is translated angel 181 of those times. The other seven times it is translated messenger. The word angelos always refers to a personality and never to a thing or a condition. Paul also tells us where this messenger came from. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, this messenger or angel came from hell and not from heaven. His purpose was to buffet Paul. The word buffet is the Greek word kalathizo, which means to rap with the fist or to deal blow after blow. It is apparent that Satan had assigned a messenger or spirit to Paul with the sole purpose of stopping him. This evil messenger dealt blow after blow to Paul's ministry without success. Paul soon recognized this trouble that seemed to meet him at every turn and asked the Lord to remove this messenger from him. When you examine Paul's life and ministry, you soon learn an amazing fact. This guy encountered more trouble than any 10 men that I know of put together. Now, let's take a brief sideline and look at some of the trouble that Paul experienced in his ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin with verse 23. Listen to some of the things this man went through. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Paul had an incredible list of trouble that he faced in his ministry. I heard a minister say years ago about Paul's ministry that whenever he preached, he either had revival or a riot. I've never read after anyone who had as many challenges in his ministry as Paul. Most men would have quit and said, "Forget this, it's not worth it." Now, let's take a look at a couple of these challenges that Paul mentions very briefly. Notice verse 24. He said that he was beaten with 39 stripes 5 times. Now, when a man was beaten with 39 stripes, it was a brutal punishment. The tool used in this punishment was a whip made of leather with 3 strands. At the end of each strand, there were pieces of glass, metal, or bone that not only dug into the flesh of the person being beaten, but ripped chunks of flesh away as the whip was pulled away. This is what Jesus endured before he went to the cross when he was scourged by Pilate in John chapter 19, verse 1. A brutal beating like this would result in a massive loss of blood and injuries that exposed bones and internal organs to the elements. Many men died from the scourging or the subsequent infections that followed. Paul endured this brutal form of torture on 5 different occasions. He also mentioned that on 3 occasions he was beaten with rods. This punishment was done by hanging the victim upside down and beating them with a metal rod across the bottom of their feet. This kind of torture would break the bones and destroy tendons and ligaments and literally make the feet of the victim useless. Most men who were beaten with rods never walked again. Paul endured this kind of torture on 3 different occasions. In spite of these horrendous tortures, each time Paul would get up, bind up his wounds, and head out to the next place to fulfill God's purpose by preaching and teaching the gospel. Most of the time, he would walk to his next destination. Paul was not just an example of perseverance and persistence, but he also experienced the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his physical body on many occasions. Tortures like these would have killed most men, but Paul kept pressing forward, understanding that he had a mission to fulfill. In Galatians 6:17, he said something that's very interesting. He said this, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Here in Galatians, Paul makes this statement concerning the torture he had endured for the cause of Christ, and uses the word stigma, translated marks. The word stigma literally means a mark incised or scars. Paul's body was scarred severely from the beatings with whips and rods. This was just a part of the suffering and persecution that he went through, let alone the time he was stoned and the 3 times he was shipwrecked, the perils or dangers he experienced from water, from robbers, from the heathen, from his brethren, from false brethren, from dangers in the sea, from dangers in the wilderness, from painfulness, from weariness, from hunger, from nakedness. Not once in Paul's rehearsal of his sufferings does he mention sickness or disease. Not once. Now, let's look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now notice verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now here Paul exhibits the heart of a true champion. After realizing that Satan had assigned a messenger to buffet him or to deal blow after blow, Paul asked God to remove him. The Lord said to Paul, My grace is sufficient, or enough, to handle every situation. This is what he experienced at every turn. When Paul found himself in these tough places, God's miracle-working power, dunamis, was there. Paul finally changed his attitude. Every time Satan attempted to stop Paul and shut him up, make him quit, or take him out, God's grace and power were there to give Paul ultimate victory. Once he was stoned at Lystra and dragged outside the city and presumed dead, the believers stood around him and prayed. Paul rose up, listen to this, dusted himself off, went on to Derbe with Barnabas the next morning and preached and taught. He then returned back to Lystra, the place where he was stoned, and he encouraged the saints there in Acts chapter 14. Listen, not even being stoned to death could stop this man from finishing his assignment. Notice what Paul declared in verse 10. This is my paraphrase. Therefore I take pleasure in trouble. The word translated take pleasure is the Greek word yokideo, and it is a word that means to think well of or to be pleased with something. This man said to adversity and trouble, Is that all you got? Bring it on. I like it. Paul had a faith that gave the devil nightmares. There was absolutely nothing he could do to stop this guy. He would have him beaten, shipwrecked, persecuted, arrested, imprisoned, and even stoned to death. And Paul would get up, brush himself off, and get right back at it. He knew that when he was at his weakest point and unable to overcome in his own ability, the power of God would show up and put him over. He ended up by writing, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, over half of the New Testament. He set a standard for excellence and persistence and faith. Now notice what he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. He said, But you have fully known my doctrine, or teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now Paul declared that the Lord delivered him out of all of the persecution and trouble that came his way. That's just the way God does things. He'll minister his grace that'll more than see you through. Did Paul suffer as a Christian? He most certainly did. He suffered persecution. And all who live godly will suffer persecution to some degree or another. He did not, and we do not, however, have to suffer with sickness and disease, because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You find that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I just wanted you to know that Paul wrote that by the Holy Spirit. I think Paul certainly knew that truth in a very personal and powerful way. He, Jesus, was made not only sin with our sin, but he bore our sickness and carried our pains. Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:17. I tell you, once you understand Paul's thorn, it gives you another outlook on his ministry. This guy was a champion of champions, and he followed the pattern that Jesus established before. This guy was just simply amazing. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. I'd like you to tune in again next week for another lesson in our series, Healing and Health, Living Long and Living Strong. We'll be back next week with another lesson. Until then, be blessed.